your heart beats faster and faster.
Crossroads of America and all the spooky, dirty back roads in between. This is the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Paranormal broadcasting, where we may not be the best at what we do, but we'll be proud to tell you that.
That's crowd proud. That's right, brother. Loud and proud. Hey, gang, we're back live in studio, of course, me and my brother, and we'll be in the G&D chat rooms all night long, so get ready.
Oh, yeah, you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And in case you were wondering, this is the Ghost Man, Sean B.
That would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And this is the Sunday, August 17th broadcast of our little show.
Ooh, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris, and it's broadcast live on Omnisound, KarmaCast, I Am Haunted, and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal and Para-X Radio.
That's right, guys. I hope you told your parents you're going to be out late tonight, because you definitely will come home after the front porch lights off. Tonight's guest, guys. Okay, get ready for this. Get those broomsticks flying and those cauldrons bubbling, because we're going to be speaking to T. Thorne Coyle, a real-life witch, also a well-known author of Evolutionary Witchcraft. We'll be talking spells, black cats, and all kinds of cool stuff with the Ghostman and Demon Hunter. And then up next after that, we're talking to Eddie Price of Hickory Paranormal Society. It was founded in 2007. To promote the greater understanding of the paranormal, and they've been kicking tail ever since, guys. Only tonight, only on this show, and only with the Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Ooh, that's right, and we've got a special guest lined up to come on just at the beginning of the show, so hang on. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your hosts for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
First, before we get started, I want to make a prediction. I try to make a prediction on almost every show. Okay. And I know sometimes you guys have some ideas about this, but I predict that in the very, very near future, that someone is going to have like a deathbed confession, and they are going to confess that during May 18th, probably the 19th, the day after Mount St. Helens erupted, that they found a Sasquatch. They found a Sasquatch. They sent in the teams, the cadaver dogs, and everybody to save everybody. And they found a Sasquatch and covered it up. And now one of those guys that found it is going to make it public.
Okay, I wrote it down. It's the date today, guys. August 3rd. Put it in your books. August 3rd of 08. Deathbed confession, May 19th. Someone's going to come forward and say they found a Sasquatch, right?
Right. They found a Sasquatch up there when right after Mount St. Helens blew up. They went in to find survivors, and they found a Sasquatch, and the government was real heavy on covering that up, of course.
Right.
And we all
now,
know
is that a prediction in where you have seen this coming, or is that a prediction in that information has gotten to you?
I see this coming, but there's information that everyone has. You know, the first very newspaper article in Washington about a Sasquatch was at Mount St. Helens, like 1924.
And that was Professor Slim King. He was on 2 weeks ago talking to us about the upcoming Sasquatch situation.
That's right, brother.
It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as he predicted that's been going around. I kind of have a feeling that I've got a bad feeling about this Sasquatch thing that's going on right now. But we thought...
Well,
with everything going on, the person to contact right off at the beginning of this show would be the Professor Slim King.
That's right, absolutely. But I tell you what, Demon Hunter, should I read the actual story from Fox News?
If you'd like to read the actual story, let's look at that really fast, sure.
Okay, guys, actually, we are haunted here at the G&D Show studio. So right now, our mail clerk, she's actually a ghost. We call her the G&D Show Banshee. She's going to bring in the paperwork. Ready? Thank you, G&D Show Banshee. That was the Banshee for the G&D Show. She just brought it in hot off the presses. FoxNews.com, guys. Bigfoot trackers say they've got a body. Thursday, August 14, 2008. Fox News revealed Bigfoot man may have been found. We'll see. Two Northern California men and two Georgians say they've got a body, a photo, and DNA evidence pertaining to the elusive forest-dwelling man-ape, and that they'll reveal all at a press conference in Palo Alto, California on Friday. I think you'll find that this is the real deal, Robert Barrows of Redwood City, California, told the Bay City News local wire service. Matthew Witten, a cop in Clayton County, Georgia, and his friend Rick Dyer, a former corrections officer, say they recently found the body in the woods of northern Georgia. Veteran Bigfoot tracker Tom Biscardi, big guy, said he examined the body, and that the scientists will get their chance soon, guys. So we're still waiting on that. But what Demon Hunter, my brother, brought up earlier, the Professor Slim King was on the show, guys, not less than 2 weeks ago, and the Magic Man himself predicted that this kind of thing would happen.
So why don't we bring the Magic Man himself, the Jake Blues of the paranormal world, the Professor Slim King is here with us tonight. Hey, Professor.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We doing fine.
Pretty crazy, huh?
Like $1 million, baby.
Wow, that is, how much closer can you get? You know, they found this thing in Helen, Georgia, and I said Mount St. Helens, which is my only place of reference to it. That's where I saw one. And man, you know, I kind of missed it, but I missed it as close as you could miss that part. And we had the body of a Sasquatch, a guy confessing, find all of it. It was crazy.
Right.
That was crazy.
I think it was crazy.
So how do you feel about this? Do you think this is going to turn out to be something we should be watching more? Is it going to turn out to be a truth, a false, a Ripley's? What is it going to turn out to be?
Well, my prediction was more that it would be breaking news, that someone would confess. I didn't really say that there was actually going to be a body. And I think my line of thinking, in my prediction that there would be a government cover-up, that's what I'm looking for here. I'm thinking that nobody's going to see that body. If it's real, the government's going to grab it and haul it off. If it's not real, I think it will disappear on its own, and they'll say the government grabbed it and hauled it off.
Now, let me just say one thing, Professor. There was no other psychics out there that I know of, that I've known, that came forward and made such a bold statement like you did, sir, on this show just 2 weeks ago, stating that somebody in the United States would find the body of a Sasquatch.
Yeah, nobody was really coming out with it. I actually made this prediction in May with a bunch of, when I was on Amelia Island with a bunch of folks down there seeing a really cool show by Don Theo. I made it then, and then it impressed me so much that I included it in a prediction that I made in June the 6th, and I had that notarized. So I had that legally documented that I made it June the 6th with another one that I did with a UFC match with St. Pierre and Fitch, which also that hit 100%. That one worked great. So it was one of several of the ones I made, and they all, you know, come down to the demon chair in Casadega right there in Lake Helen.
Well, you know, that demon chair, we got to talk about that. And I got to tell you, when I first saw that picture of the Sasquatch sitting in the freezer, before I even read the story, all I thought was, oh my gosh, somebody's had a Sasquatch in the freezer since Mount St. Helens blew up. And,
I wonder how good they keep.
I don't know, it couldn't keep that well. But after reading it, I just don't have all my faith in it. I think some people who are notable kind of put their tag on it, and now they're wondering if they should have. But You know, it's, do you think that that's your prediction come true, or should we watch for more Sasquatch information coming out?
I think that there's, I think that that's probably as close as I'm going to get. I think that I only just, instead of Mount St. Helens, it was Helen, Georgia. I think that's the only real mistake I made, which kind of threw me off on the timeline.
Okay.
You know, there'll be much more, and there's going to be some cool stuff coming up. Before I want to go, though, I do want to tell everyone that's listening about the challenge, the $1 million paranormal challenge that the James Randi Educational Foundation is giving out.
Yes.
I have accepted that challenge.
Very
well. I am going to take that $1 million.
And you're going to share it with the G&D show.
I am, quite honestly, I am going to give $25,000 to any paranormal research groups that help out in this endeavor. And that would include radio shows, paranormal radio shows.
Providing you win.
Anybody who wants to kick in, when we win this $1 million, I'll give 25 grand to any group as a donation to further your research into the paranormal. We're going to go out and get this. We're going to win this thing. It's going to be great.
I don't know, Demon Hunter, how many T-shirts can we buy for 25 grand?
More than we have now. We might actually be able to get some in sizes people can wear.
Yeah.
All I got to say, Professor, is you came on this show blazing hot, sir, and nobody else was saying squat about anything going on, and you came out and you stood up on your own 2 feet and you said, hey, guys, cats, this is what's going to happen, and it happened 2 weeks later, guys.
There's a lot of Monday morning armchair quarterback guys that, oh, yeah, it could have been this, or he could have known that, or, you know, come on. I just came out and said it, you know.
Now, like
I
had talked with the professor earlier, and some people have contacted me and saying that you had that information from other places, and since then you have proven to me that you had it prior to those things. So I accept that.
And here's something, Nathan and Sean, that I will do that they've accused me of taking this off some little tiny blog somewhere. I will take a polygraph test to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that I did not do that. If they want to come up and polygraph me, I will take a polygraph test. If I'm wrong, I'll give them $1,000 right there.
So, Professor, what exactly? I know you just said it, but let's state it for the crowd, the listeners out there. What is the challenge? We are calling out the amazing Randy.
That's right. Here it is. I, David Koenig, will contact a paranormal entity and communicate with it in an intelligent and understandable manner. Reasonable questions will be asked and answered. This communication will be recorded with instrumental transcommunication and electronic voice phenomenon, ITC and EVP methods. Conventional video recording will also be used to verify contact in addition to still photography. Other scientific devices will also be used to determine and verify any unusual presences at the location. The second paragraph reads, this demonstration will take place 10/31/2008 at Lake Helen, Florida. I will make contact on that date as a preliminary test, and then again on 10/31/2009 to complete the $1 million challenge, unless the JREF would like to forego the preliminary test and go straight to the challenge on 10/31/2008. I would prefer to go straight to the $1 million challenge and not waste any time.
There you go, Professor. There you heard it, the amazing Randy. Sir, this is what you make your living off of. We're ready to come forward. You got the professor. He's hot. He's fresh off some hot predictions, man. And he's going to come out there. Where are you going to be, amazing Randy?
Right.
Where are you going to be October 31st?
And I think it would it be all right with you if there are any other paranormal groups that want to come and partake and participate in this? Can they contact the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show?
They can. And
they
Ghost get a hold
and of
Demon
me, and we'll set them up. And if we pull this off, it's a big success. Everybody gets a 25 grand scholarship.
There you go. You can contact us at ghostanddemon@gmail.com. So it's going to be like a prize fight, the Professor Slim King versus the amazing Randy.
Going right after him. And, you know, in the 30 years or so that he's been running around doing this, he has dodged everyone. I don't dodge me. I want the money. he has not, in the last 13 years that I know of, allowed no one to actually take the official test. He has never risked $1 million once. Yet he's built his entire foundation on it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, you just can't. I mean, hey, let's at least test somebody. I mean, they used a preliminary test of a lady who was trying to make a guy pee his pants. That was their test. That was their thing. I mean, hey, Randy, if you can test a lady that wants to make somebody pee their pants, you can test me. You can test me, can't you?
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, if anybody in the chat room right now has questions for our professor, go ahead and let them out right now, guys. I can read what's going on in the chat room. I'm monitoring it. And we'll give them out to the professor right away. But, Professor, you got this big thing going on. I mean, you feel confident about this. You know you can do this.
Yeah, what prompted is Randy's not going to give the money away. He's going to cut this off in 2010. So I think people are paranormally making contact left and right all around us. There's a lot of successes going on. So I want to get in there and get this money before they do. You know what I'm saying? I want to get in there and get the cash. Because it's being proven left and right that there's thousands of paranormal research groups coming up with EVP and ITC daily now. So it's just a matter of time. If I don't do it, they're going to do it. You know,
absolutely.
Get my drift?
Well, you're a trailblazer, Professor, because let me tell you something. More than not, in people in this field, they don't come forward because they're afraid they're going to make somebody upset. Or the general public's going to disagree with what they have to say. I commend you, sir. Hats off to you for having the strength, the wisdom to come forward and say, I am going to do this, this is for real, and I'm going to show the world.
Now, there are a lot of people out there who don't seem to agree with you, Professor, who don't seem to like you. What do you think that comes from?
Well, that comes from what I would consider the closed-minded skeptics. You know, I think everyone who believes in paranormal has crossed these skeptics that think they know it all. They just know it all. And, of course, there's no supernatural. There's no spirit world. There's nothing. And we know different. You know, we've all had deja vu experiences. We've all known who was calling before we picked up the phone. We've all had answered prayers. I've had dreams that come true. It's happened to all of us. I know in my heart it's true. And so I think a lot of people do. But there's these skeptics that are close-minded, and they think they know everything. And, of course, they're going to tell you, oh, no. Oh, no. So,
absolutely. Well, you got some – apparently we got the big Lebowski in the chat room tonight. We got the dude. I love it. We got the dude. He's down there. And, he says that the Amazing Randy's thing isn't a forum, isn't a small forum or whatever. I don't really get that. I guess – did we say that was a small forum? I don't know.
But he's also saying that he made the prediction on July 24th. And when did you say yours was notarized, Professor?
June 6th.
June 6th? Okay, well.
Yeah, I have a notarized prediction June 6th. I actually made the prediction, I believe someone said around the 24th of May. So it was in May.
So I tell you what, Professor, I'm not even going to ask you to go out on a limb, but man, I've seen the pictures of this Bigfoot laying in the crate. I got to tell you, I'm excited, guys. I'm excited. It's a big week for the paranormal community. Even if it is a hoax, it's still pretty cool. It's out there. It made CNN. It made headline news.
It's breaking news.
It's all over. And I heard something today, guys, that they took the three DNA tests. One was human. One was of a possum. And the other one was unidentified. Now, guys, if you're in the chat room and I'm wrong, please tell me, because I get my news like you guys do, bits and pieces through the internet. But that's what I heard, Professor. I heard there was three different types of DNA tests, and one was a possum, one was human, and one was unknown.
And I don't want anyone trying to twist this around and saying that I'm 100% behind what these guys are claiming. I'm claiming that there is a confession that was made about finding a Bigfoot, yada, 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 all the facts that I put out there that coincide with what happened. And that's what I'm saying, and that's what happened.
That is all the professor said, guys. He said that someone would come forward and say they had the body of a Sasquatch. And that's what's happened, guys. He's not saying it's real. He's not saying it's fake. He just said it was going to happen, and boom, there it is. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's right.
Now, break out the rum. Let's party.
Yeah, let's party. I'm ready. So you guys are going to come down on Halloween. That's October 31st. And we're going to go out to the Devil's Chair, and we're going to make contact.
Well, will the Amazing Randy show up? I don't know, folks. A big question.
I have applied. I have dotted the I's, crossed the T's, sent it in. There's academics all sending in their take on me. So everybody knows that what I've done in the past, what I can do in the future, what other people do. We just have to make contact. You know, I'm just going to ask them their name, ask them where they're from, ask them some information. If they talk back, that's contact, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And people are doing that. You yourself, you know, turned on a scanner and asked a guy his name, and he told you his name, correct?
He did.
Yeah, so it's that kind of thing, and it's happening more and more and more frequently now. And I just think it's time someone stepped forward and said, I'll carry the banner. Let's do it. You know, let's
you know
just
what?
Take it
you
to
know
him.
What, Professor, the only thing that we're going to run into is sometimes skeptics that claim to be. I like skeptics. Heck, I'm a skeptic. Nathan's a skeptic. Everybody's a skeptic to be a ghost hunter. But sometimes these skeptics get so close-minded, it doesn't matter if the ghost walks in front of them, does an Irish jig, they're still not going to admit it to the world.
Exactly.
That's not called skeptics, folks. That's called disbelievers. If you're not going to believe, then you're not a skeptic. You got to be open-minded to be a skeptic. See, that's all I'm saying, Professor. Correct me if
I'm
wrong.
That's a good insight. That's a very good insight. Amen, brother. Preach on. That's what it is. They're not. They don't even qualify as a skeptic. They're just simple-minded.
I know. Absolutely.
They're not opening their mind. They just think this is the only way I can see it, so that must be the way it is.
Now, Professor, we've got a call on the line. It's we normally don't take calls during this part of the show, but I will leave it up to you if you want me to take a call in.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Caller, you are on the line.
Hello.
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 Hello. Listen, Slim, you know, I listened to the show last time. My name is Alex. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
we can hear you, Alex.
I find that the problem that you might run with this test is that, you know, I follow these things in the past, and it seems like these skeptic groups, not all of them, of course, but most of them, they're not really interested in trying to break new ground or find proof of the paranormal. They're basically setting up these tests to be able to laugh at and ridicule, you know, make fun of the people that are wanting to be tested, and basically anybody else who believes that might be a existence of something paranormal. I mean, that's what I think. What do you think about that?
I agree 100%. You're right on there, Alex. What do you guys think?
I agree 100% as well. I think that's what we're looking for.
Right. Like I said, it's that the Monday morning armchair quarterback guy just laying back. I could have done this, or it should have been. Maybe they had something hidden under there, or, you know, just all these different excuses or reasons. And,
right.
You know, if there's people who's out there, you know, chasing ghosts and demons around, you know, getting pictures and orbs and everything else. And these guys just sit back and hack on everybody.
So what do you think, Alex? What do you think about this? What do you think about the Amazing Randy? I mean, what's going on with that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the thing is that, you know, there are groups out there that are trying to legitimately, you know, trying to find, you know, that kind of information, trying to break new ground, trying to discover something interesting, you know, for the betterment of humanity. But I think a lot of these other groups, they're interested in just criticizing and laughing at. I did hear something. I don't know if this is old Randy rules, you know, the James Randi Educational Foundation rules, but I did hear that, for instance, if somebody were to pass the test, that the James Randi Foundation would have 30 days to be able to replicate the test, and if they were able to replicate it somehow, then it would be null and void. So I don't know if that's true, if that's still applicable. I don't know, maybe Slim knows about this. But that's something I heard about some time ago based on an old test, and I don't know if it's still applicable. And if it is, it kind of proves my point that, it seems like it's not set up really to try to find something new, you know?
Hey, Alex, you're a ghost hunter. I'm assuming you're a ghost hunter, right?
Well, yeah, I have many different interests, but,
Most of us, we work a full-time job, brother, and we're out there in the field. We're carrying the EMF meters, the cameras, whatnot, right? We got the IR thermometers, and we're checking for this stuff because we believe in the existence of ghosts. You know what I mean? And I'm just saying one thing about the skepticism. If you're going to be a skeptic, I think we all are skeptics, right, guys? We don't want to be gullible, so we're all skeptics. But at the same time, a skeptic has to keep an open mind to both sides.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just because you have interests in many different fields, I mean, I've also heard people that, you might have interests in different fields, all of a sudden believing in something paranormal is just, it's not accepted or not possible. I mean,
hey, guys, I hate to say this, but we're going to have to wrap this section of the show up.
Oh.
Alex, I'm sorry. We agree with what you say, but we got to go to a break. And before we go to a break, Professor, the last question I had there was people were asking if you are or if you were ever a magician.
Oh, of course. Mentalism is a form of magic. It's kind of like what jazz is to blues. I think people that are interested in the supernatural and stuff are also interested in magic. I know all kinds of people that are.
Boom, boom, boom.
Of course. And you know what? Maybe that's a possibility that Randy has made, that I might be a better magician than he is and pull the wool over his eyes. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's why I feel in my heart that he's going to run from this like crazy.
This could
possibly be the biggest scientific paranormal demonstration in the world that we're going to do here. Down at the Devil's Chair in Casadega, right in Lake Helen, in that graveyard there. And we're going to use every scientific cutting-edge technology we can get our hands on. And dollars to lose, I wouldn't get anywhere near that. Would you?
Right.
No, I can understand that. Hey, but we got to go to break, Professor. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight.
Well, thanks for having me on.
And we'll talk to you again real soon, I'm sure. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
All right, and we will we'll be talking to the professor again soon, I'm sure. But hey, Sean, before we go, we used up all our normal time there. I want to say that I didn't get to read any weird locations of the week, but you guys, if you want to check out any of the weird locations out there, be sure to go to www.weirdus.com with our friends Mark and Mark. And I also want to announce, I was lighting it up while the professor was in here. My cigar for the week was the Camacho.
Camacho!
It's a Camacho Macho. Oh, never mind. It's a Camacho Candia, and I'm enjoying it right now. It's a nice light cigar, which I got at Butthead's Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut. So...
Did you guys hear my witch sound? We got a witch coming on the show tonight. That's my witch sound.
That's great. We couldn't hear half of what the professor said because it was cackling on. But it's great.
Whatever.
But we're going to go to a quick break. We've got a Dead Letters coming up. When we come back, we'll give our thanks to our listeners who are in the chat room. And we will, we'll go talk to our friend Gigi with Inside the Horror.
All right, guys, stay tuned. Up next, we got Chrissy P. She's going to take you deep down in dark side of the written word. Stay tuned.
Hickory, North Carolina is alive with Talk About the Dead. www.hauntedhickory.com is celebrating the paranormal October 3rd and 4th with classes and lectures by Patrick Burns of Haunting Evidence on True TV, Keith Age from Sci-Fi Channel Spooked and Children of the Grave, Tim and Trish Yancey plus Jason Gowan from Encounters Paranormal Radio, Nathan Schoonover of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, Stephen LaChance from Discovery Channel's A Haunting, and Shannon Sylvia of Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters International. Plus, vendors, a hearse contest, and much more. Participate in a live ghost hunt in the haunted West Wing of the Hickory Salt Lock. Haunted Hickory in Hickory, North Carolina, October 3rd and 4th. www.hauntedhickory.com. Make plans to attend now.
Once, upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and eerie over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore,
welcome to Dead Letters. I'm Chrissy P., short fiction writer and avid reader, and here are my picks for paranormal reading this month. It's a good bet that because it's summer, some of us are spending time by the sea. While it's a place to cool off, the sea's real pull comes from its quixotic nature. It is beautiful and formidable. It is punishing and redemptive. It is comforting and terrifying. This makes it a worthy backdrop for ghostly tales, especially ones that involve revenge from beyond or from beyond the grave. Remember the albatross burdened sailor in Coleridge's The Rime of the Ancient Mariner? If you've not read it since high school, you've probably forgotten how creepy that poem really is. After a mariner kills an albatross, the kind bird of good omen, he and his crew suffer all sorts of supernatural peril. While the rhyming might get on your nerves, what gives this poem its haunting quality is its use of sound and imagery. Consider the journey through the South Pole. The ice was here, the ice was there, the ice was all around. It cracked and growled and roared and howled like noises in a swound. There are vivid renderings of tongues withering at their roots, a death ship with gossamer sails, a parched ocean bed writhing with slimy creatures, and decks covered with dead men. This is a poem that isn't read. It's envisioned. A scholarly paper argued that Poe's Descent into the Maelstrom alluded strongly to Mariner, but Descent focuses more on punishment from the heavens above. In this story, a fisherman is driven by greed to fish grounds avoided by his peers, and he pays for it, while the specter of the moon broods over his demise. What he discovers at the bottom of that, quote, wide waste of liquid ebony, end quote, is disturbing and disorienting. The fear in this piece, though, comes from Poe's use of sibilance and alliteration that makes you feel as though you're on that doomed ship. If you're prone to seasickness, I'd avoid this one. If you're a Ring fan, chances are you've heard of Dark Water. Not the film, the book of short stories also by Koji Suzuki. In fact, the story the film was based on is not called Dark Water. It's entitled Floating Water, and is the first piece in the book. But in this collection, which is framed by a seemingly unrelated prologue until you finish the volume, there are several that are top-notch beach fright reading. The real winner, though, is The Hold. To say anything of the plot would ruin it. That's how meticulously crafted this piece is. I will tell you that it begins shrouded in Suzuki's characteristic murkiness, and the tension builds until its shocking ending. For some real fun, take a copy of it down to the beach, or onto a small boat, at night, and read it with a flashlight. I guarantee you'll have difficulty when it's time to dip your toes in the water. The sea is a keeper of secrets and, in that way, is not unlike our own subconscious. Some of our secrets, when revealed, are as precious as sea glass. Some are part of who we are, like creatures both harmless and toxic. And others, the shameful ones we try to cast away from us, or tie weights to in the hope they'll never surface again, are the ones that always seem to wash ashore somewhere. As always, I'll post this commentary and links to the stories themselves and where you can purchase Dark Water in the Dead Letters section on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter forums. Until next time, water, water everywhere, and all the boards did shrink. Water, water everywhere, nor any drop to drink. And here's to sleeping with the lights on.
Okay, well, wait, just do what you do.
Hello, it's Christopher Saint, and you're listening to Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, and we're the Booth Brothers with Children of the Grave. Yeah, stay tuned. They're a hot. It's a radio show. Who was that again? Yeah. Okay. Stay tuned and listen to Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. They rock.
Hey, Ghost Man and Demon Man. Whatever.
Ghost Man and Demon Man. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
You guys get all that? That was Toyota Mitsubishi, water, water everywhere.
It's called a book, Sean. Open one sometime.
open with... Hey, that was Chrissy P. She was hot tonight, man. I felt it. I felt it in my soul. My bones are aching.
I'm glad you did. I think you need to take the witch a little away from the microphone there, though, because she's causing some static.
Hey, Demon Hunter, I'm sorry. I'll try to tell her in the future. That is the Banshee for the Ghostman Demon Hunter show. She is live in studio, and she floats around.
Oh, great. I guess the fart machine got lost, huh?
Not yet. I lost the control key for it. Yeah, I was telling you that, guys. Don't panic, guys, out there listening. The fart machine will be back. I just lost the remote control for it right now.
Hey, why don't we read off some of our guests in the chat room?
You want me to do it, Demon Hunter?
Why don't you do it? Because you obviously need to take some time reading. Go ahead,
man.
We do.
We got the big man, Darko. We got the buddy, Muldoon. We got Beowulf, Witchy Gator, Ghost Chaser, Marcy Oz, Dude, Alex. Let me scroll down. And that's it, guys. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Let's say thanks to Spanky McBubbles. She had to leave a little early because she wasn't feeling well. But, you know,
feel better.
So she's going to miss that important question of the evening, Sean.
You ruined my outro. Okay, go ahead.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Yo! Twin Cities! Yo! Boys 5'9".
GG! What's up, guys?
Are you ready to make a movie?
I'm ready to make a movie!
Hey,
well, I don't know.
I heard,
I can only wonder what type of movie it is.
I heard that you were at a conference this weekend representing us, but I didn't know anything about this conference. What's happening?
I was at Spirit Fest this weekend, guys. It was their first ever paranormal conference. They had asked, they were kind of searching out for people to come, so they'd asked me to come, and I knew that you guys were busy, you know, being celebrities, doing the GQ thing, signing autographs, underwear shoots, all that good stuff.
I had to get my stuff waxed.
We have to do something to make Sean wear underwear, so.
Anyway.
So, I went down to Spirit Fest, and it was a good time. It was kind of crazy. It was just like I wish you were there, man. It was like a massive beach party. It was pretty cool. And Joplin, Missouri. And they had it outside in like this little river forest thing, and it used to be an old Native American tribal ground. And they had the old mud hut cave and everything. And they had, like, the stage set up or whatever. They had bands playing, people up there speaking, good stuff like that. People were swimming, camping. I mean, it was like a big outdoor hippie fest. You know, it was kind of cool. And, you know, of course, there was alcoholic products everywhere, which, you know, we totally support. So, good. I love your new addition.
Thank you. That's retro. That is retro G&D show. I brought it out last October. You guys don't remember.
I tried to forget.
I was probably sedated with all the, you know, prescribed drugs I had from dealing with your antics, Sean.
I got this floating head, and her eyes light up, and she floats around the G&D Show studio. She's the G&D Show Banshee. Listen. Yeah?
Unfortunately, Gigi, he pushes it while everybody's talking, so you can't hear what the guests are saying. But
right. The guests are like, I'm never coming on that show again. They don't let me talk.
It's a ghost, guys.
Don't care
I can't control
about you talking. Ghost. We just want to hear the Banshee. No,
I can't control the Banshee.
She's got a mind of her own.
Right.
No, I mean, I wish you were out there. It was pretty cool. It was fun. We had a good time. A group of us went out there. I went up there and did a guest speaking gig, and it was hysterical. And we just had a good time and rocked out. And some stuff about the trip was not so fun. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to really say anything in case we have fans in Oklahoma, but I don't know.
In case the cops come looking for you?
Well, we went to the Spirit Fest, right? And it was like an all-day thing outside. And it went, God, I think we left about a little bit after midnight or so. So it was an all-day, all-night thing, right? Some people were camping out over there. I didn't have to go on until about 9 o'clock. So we had plenty of time, and everyone's sitting there drinking, and I'm like, well, let's, you know. I had my group with me, and I said, well, why don't you guys just go on a beer run? Get some booze, sit there, drink.
I'm going on one right now.
What?
I'm on the phone right now. I'll be right back.
He's leaving the studio to get a beer. So, quick, Gigi, tell us what you have to tell us before he gets back.
Oh, my God. That'd be, like, my whole review. No, so I was kind of like, wow, this is – okay, go on a beer run. Have a good time, you know, get some beer. You know, after my guest speaking thing, I'll, you know, probably have a couple with you and talk to some people. And we're on our way to the gas station, right? Because we're not from Joplin, Missouri. This is like, you know – I'm not saying anything bad about Missouri. I like Missouri. I think it's beautiful. I like, you know, the people are friendly. But it's a little bit Deliverance-ish. So, you know, we don't know where we are. We're kind of trapped out there. So we go to this gas station. And we're like, okay, we're going to go get some booze. It's going to be great. So I was going to go in with them and help carry it. And my friend gets out of the car, opens the door, right, is getting out of the car, standing up and goes to turn and shut the door. Some guy in an Escalade comes up through the gas station and literally bends the door completely into the driver's door. And
I think I saw that on an episode of Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, yeah. And so we're like, what is – I mean, this guy just drives through the bay of the gas station and literally takes our car out. We're astounded. We're in shock. We're like, how do you not see a car? How do you not see a person standing there? And I mean, if my friend was a couple inches over, she would have got clocked. She would have got pinned between the door and the truck. And this guy does this, right? He gets out of the car and starts yelling at my friend. And I look at him, I'm like, excuse me? I was like, where in this country is it okay to like swerve towards a pedestrian? I was like, when is this okay? So then we looked at his license plate. It's in Oklahoma. I said, well, I'm upset.
Gigi, just in New Jersey. New Jersey. It's okay there.
Oh, so is it? Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. Crap.
It's the Garden State.
That's why the Sopranos picked that state to take over.
Exactly. Because they could just, you know, run people over and it's no big deal. The cops are like, hey, whatever. Yeah. And literally, the police there refused to come out and fill out an accident report.
I got to put some karma on my
They list. Told us that they didn't do that.
They did
we
not,
said,
okay.
You don't understand. There's an accident. We need a police. I mean, we're from Illinois, you know. It's required that you have a police report every time there's an accident. It doesn't matter if it's a fender bender or a full head-on collision. You need a police report for insurance purposes. And the police station said, well, your choices are either exchange insurance information and figure it out yourselves, or you're free to come down to the station and we'll give you a form if you want to fill one out yourself. But we won't fill one out for you. And I'm like, what? Okay. So I just was like, well, I'm explaining this to the two drivers because I'm the one that called the non-emergency number. So I'm explaining this to the two drivers, and they're both cackling and saying things in the background like, oh, it's the police at their finest, blah, 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 blah. And then the guy on the phone is like, could you please put that gentleman on that said that? Could you please put him on? I'm going to explain this to him. I'm like, dude, it's okay, really?
Well, you just won that case now that he made fun of the police officers.
Right? No, so they refused to come out. They refused to do anything. And I was like, you know, I gotta be on stage speaking in like an hour. Can we like, I don't know, just tie the door, put some duct tape on it. Let's get
So how was the speech? How was your speech, man? What happened? Was it the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show speech hour or what?
Tower. Well, I went up there and I, you know, basically said that, you know, the guys from Ghostly Talk and the guys from Ghostman Demon Hunter send their regards and, you know, basically, you know, lied. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding.
We ain't never heard of you before, so.
You know what's funny? I go out there and they've got these speakers, right? It was very cool. It was like, it's like how a paranormal convention should be as far as how people treated each other. Because you know how, like, you guys know, there's certain times that it gets petty. And, you know, just like any community, things happen and there's drama, you know?
Was there fist fights that happened?
No. Everybody was very cool. It was like a family, man. Everybody was, like, just meeting each other for the first time. These groups were coming together, meeting each other. And they were like, yeah, you're into ghost hunting, I'm into ghost hunting. Cool. There was no conflict. There was no, I got better research than you. There was no, I'm more famous than you. Everybody was
Give
very
it time.
Cool.
Give it time.
Give it time. Next year.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel very confident with these guys. I was congratulating them, you know, because it's, you know, you see all these groups, you know, host these festivals, and then you never hear from them again. They actually have Budweiser is building them a stage next year for their next Spirit Fest. So I thought that was very cool, and I congratulated them on their success. And
there you go, Sean. There's the paranormal activity for you. Budweiser is promoting a Spirit Fest. There you go.
See,
I see all kinds of spirits, guys. Compliments of Budweiser every Sunday night at 9 o'clock on the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
We also see ghosts at the same time.
I said spirits, ghosts, right?
It was very cool because they had bands playing, too. And it was like band speakers. It was very awesome. So I got up there and I basically just told ghost stories. And I mean, everybody pulled up chairs and put down blankies. It was like, you know, we're sitting around a campfire telling ghost stories. It was awesome. It was very cool. So, yeah, I don't know. It was cool. And go, you guys. And I hope next year it's even better. So there you go.
Well, you know, Gigi, I hate to tell you, I did not go to see a movie this week.
You were at a roll.
I'm sorry. It was date night. I was going out with Chrissy P. We were going to hit a movie, but we got tickets to the Bruce Hornsby concert. And we wound up going to a concert instead. I think I was the only person under 60 there who was who was wearing earplugs. So,
and, of course, Bruce Hornsby is the official sponsor of older swingers everywhere.
I thought you were going to say the Ghostman Demon
Hunter show. No, swingers. Swingers.
Well, how is that different from the Ghostman Demon Hunter show?
Yeah. No, so, hold on one second there, Sean.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
There we go.
I get paid to play my part.
We love you. No, so, it's cool. So I woke up this morning in Joplin, hit, you know, basically got dropped off by the group. My business manager and I got dropped off in Tulsa, hitched a plane to Dallas, hitched another plane to Atlanta. I am currently broadcasting from a DoubleTree hotel in Atlanta, so good times.
Awesome.
That's the life of G&D. We're so glamorous, right?
That's right. That's right. Got all that fun stuff going. I understand you got some fun stuff going on down in Georgia.
Yes, yes.
Have you seen Bigfoot while you were down there?
I don't know. I have something really dorky planned for tomorrow, though.
Your dork.
It is. It's dorky. But you know what? You know how I like the campy, schlocky horror movies?
Yeah.
This is like the campy, schlocky thing to do if you're a ghost hunter, I guess. I don't know. We're going on a Segway ghost tour tomorrow. Yes. I mean, you can't get much more campy than that, okay?
That sounds fun. That sounds fun. I could get into that.
We're going to ride these Segways with little helmets and go on a ghost tour. How crazy is that? It's going to be awesome. So I'm looking forward to it.
So you've had a very busy week. You got stuff coming up. No movies this week?
I had a couple things in mind that I was just going to shoot out to people because I know we're on a tight time schedule tonight. You guys got some good stuff packed in. So I didn't want to take up too much time, you know, with people. And I definitely wanted to talk about Spirit Fest because, you know, we represented G&D.
I stink of sex.
Was that at? Was that the band that was playing after?
There's silence in the room.
I can't help. This happens all the time.
I wasn't able to shower before the show.
I'm kidding.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I don't know how that fits in, but I just figured I'd throw it out there since it was such a long pause.
You can say sex on the air. I know. I've got that. I've reviewed it. You can say sex on the air.
We're cable, so I guess it's okay. So what are those movies, GG?
Well, like I said, I didn't get go see Mirrors, which is what I wanted to see because it was just too crazy this weekend. That's probably what the whole movie sounded like. But so I was thinking to myself, Spirit Fest was like a smorgasbord of stuff, and I totally had an 80s vibe being there. It was kind of like a weird science Return of the Living Dead vibe when I was there. And I did have blood spilled on me at one point though, which I thought was odd, but hey, I'm not opposed, so it was weird. But yeah, I was thinking to myself, here we are at Spirit Fest, you know, and here we are, you know, Sean and Nathan, you know, we go out, we do things, we speak to the fans, we share stories, we learn new things, you know, I mean, we're just crazy, we get out there and get in all this stuff, right? And I was thinking, it's kind of like a buffet of ghost movies. And this totally flashed in my mind the entire time I was there, because it seemed like every time I turned around at Spirit Fest, it was some sort of 80s ghost-like reference or something. And I was like, I've never heard so many references to 80s ghost movies in my life. So I decided I was just going to do like a quick thing, a quick little homage, a tribute, if you will, to 80s ghost films. And there are so many 80s ghost films, so I just picked a few as sort of a little smorgasbord. And it was more or less to get you guys reminiscing, get you guys in a good mood for our guests. So see how I am? I'm working for you guys here.
That sounds
cool. Yeah. Next time, let me know, because I would like to go down there with you and drink a couple beers and have some fun. How about
at the Budweiser Spirit Fest.
Go next year. They invited us back. They said they were like extremely pleased with how everything turned out, and they asked us to be the top of the show next year. So,
well, first of all, where are these invites coming from, Gigi? Because you're getting the highest scoop. If anybody wants to invite me, Gigi, or Demon Hunter, go to www.ghostanddemon.com, put out a formal invitation, and guys, we will try our best, one of us, to be there, if not all.
See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like I was telling everybody, if all of us can't be there, two of us will be there, or at least one of us will be there.
That's
somehow,
right.
Somebody will represent, you know, in some way. So,
Gigi, what are these films? We're running out of time. I'd love to hear your films for the week.
Okay, I'm just going to go through it real fast because I don't want a time crunch. All right, guys. The Fog. Come on, John Carpenter's Fog. Oh, God. Is that not, like, the ultimate tension, suspense-building movie? You got Crazy Ghost, you got Janet Leigh, you got Jamie Lee Curtis. That's, like, a head-first plunge into, like, creepy crawliness under your skin. You got things like the schlockiness of Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2. Come on. I mean, as crazy as those were, and, I mean, they weren't exactly propelling the paranormal world into sophistication or, you know, even legitimacy for the real world, it still gave us some humor, gave us Bill Murray being, you know, the perverted slob that he is that we love so well. I mean, that was good stuff. Of course, Ghost Story I reviewed last week. You had, you know, the old Hollywood coming back, giving us a little ghost taste. We had things like Beetlejuice, one of Tim Burton, I feel, one of his best movies, because, I mean, just the vision is psychotic. I mean, this guy is great at taking us into a world, taking us into a deep plunge into the things that we don't want to admit that we like. So I have to definitely give props to Tim Burton on that. The Shining, I mean, that just hit the cusp. Yeah, it was shot in 79, but it just hit the cusp of being one of the first ghost movies to come out there, and by far one of the best ghost movies that we have. So I have to say yeah to Kubrick on that. And I know people will argue up and down between the difference between the movie and the book, but hey, they're both awesome. Kubrick had a great vision. I mean, the cinematography was awesome. Jack Nicholson was on the ball. It's one of the scariest movies of all time, so I say yay, yay. Then you got things like Poltergeist, man. I mean, how... We can never forget Carol Ann. We can never forget Heather O'Rourke's fabulous performance. Kurt T. Nelson being crazy and smoking pot everywhere. I mean, you know, killer clowns, Star Wars toys laying around. I mean, killer trees, sliding your kid across the kitchen. This was like the movie that everybody still watches to this day. This is that movie that people are like, for some reason, I've seen it 70 million times and I can't take my eyes off. It's almost sacrilegious to change it when it's on TV. Good times. Then, of course, you got things that were a little bit more cultish, a little bit more campy, a little bit more schlocky. Things like Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn. Mr. Raimi put on a fabulous show for us. I did not include Army of Darkness because that was 90s, my dear boys. But, you know, hey, we'll throw it in there and give it all props.
Dead by Dawn.
I'll swallow your soul. I mean, it was fabulous. The story was crazy. The way that they played it off was crazy. They used simple, effective techniques to get things done, like putting the camera on a board, running towards a tree. I mean, this was simple stuff back then, guys, but it was mind-blowing. You know, things like using milk as one of your big special effects. Now, come on, that's good stuff. Of course, I have to throw this in there because people that remember this will laugh. Do you remember The Midnight Hour from 1985, that TV movie with
LeVar Burton?
Yes, I do. Yes, it was the horror musical that Mr. Reading Rainbow Kunta Kinte did himself. Oh, my God, good stuff.
Had the little little American zombies. Is that what you're supposed to say?
Movie was so bad, but it was funny. I mean, you watch it now and you laugh because it's Reading Rainbow, like, just warped. And you're like, okay. And, of course, I'm going to throw one more in there, High Spirits. One of my favorites as a kid watching with Daryl Hannah, you know, Steve Goomer. Where's Steve anyway? Has done anything? Like in this century, I don't know. But good stuff with that. And I also have to say, too, everybody, there was a huge, you know, cult thing of ghost movies that came out in the 80s. And everybody was always like, oh my god, why was there so many ghost films in the 80s? I think the 80s actually had every other decade beat as far as supernatural, paranormal style type films. And I mean, it's simple. There's so many critics that relay the boom in ghost flicks to the sense of doom. People thought the world was ending, you know? You had Reagan taking over office, and I mean, you had all that crap with the Soviet Union. Reagan had dubbed the Soviet Union the evil empire.
Now, wait a minute here. I gotta throw this in really fast. You're a little young, so you forget there was 50 years of a Cold War that built up to that.
Yeah, but I'm saying, this was Hollywood feeds off of, well, I shouldn't say just Hollywood, filmmakers in general feed off of what's going on at the time. And if you remember the sense that was going around, the movies that we had in the 60s and the 70s were more focused on different genres. We were more focused on in the 70s, it was more focused on exorcism, things about your human psyche. It was basically psychological horror. That was basically what the 70s were. The 60s, that was when we were starting to break into more special effects. That was when we were starting to break into better stories. So
we were higher at that time.
We were higher at that time, yeah. So, I mean, you had all this building up. The 80s was kind of that point where, all right, we don't really have anything else going on. And at the time, that's when, you know, I mean, we were really starting to disrespect government and disrespect, you know. I mean, look at compared to the 50s. The 50s, the president came to your town. You were like, oh, my God, you were humbled. You were honored. You laid out a red carpet, you know. The 60s, there was a little bit of fighting. The 70s, a little bit more. By the time you get to the 80s, I mean, it was all full out. It was a joke. It really was. And Reagan, I mean, provided fodder for a lot of it. I personally like him, but whatever. But he dubbed it the Evil Empire, proposed the Star Wars initiative. So, of course, people were in this whole thing, we're going to die. Prince came out with 1999. The end of the world was approaching. This is what people were viewing this as. They thought the world was going to end, you know, 1999 rolls around.
Gigi, we're out of time, babe.
Oh, sounds good, man. I tried to pack it all in there.
We got to wrap up. Before you go, Gigi, I want to tell you, I got some stats. International listeners. We nothing in Manila this week.
Well, we already conquered Manila.
But Taipei, Philippines. T-A-I-P-E-I. Taipei? Is that how you'd say it? Perth, Australia. And get this, we're now big in Denmark.
Hey.
There's something rotten in Denmark, and it's the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. So, I don't know if anybody could hear me say any of that, because Sean was playing the Banshee while I was doing it, but anyway, we gotta wrap up, Gigi, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Alright, will there be anything on tonight for the Gigi Hour, Variety Hour on Blog Talk?
Yes, there will. We have lots to talk about Spirit Fest. We're gonna get into some good details and talk about some of the groups that were there, and talk about some of the other crazy things that happened while we were there.
Alright, Gigi, we will talk to you soon. We love you.
Alright, love you guys.
All right, Sean, we got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have
T. Thorne Coyle, guys. She's an internationally respected teacher, a spiritual seeker, and she's also a witch, guys. Up next, real-life witchcraft on the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
We'll be right back.
Attention, paranormal investigators in New Jersey and beyond. Be warned, this is not a parafest and not a social conference. This is Intense. The Paranormal Intensive 2008 is coming to Hackettstown, New Jersey on Saturday, September 20th. This all-day event will offer workshop after workshop to hone your skills and broaden your investigative knowledge of the paranormal. Pick and choose the workshops you want at only $25 each. You can register online at www.njghs.net/paraintensive.html.
using PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa. That night, enjoy a buffet dinner and spirit circle with Jane Doherty, psychic medium at the haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse in Hackettstown. This event is $60 per person and includes the dinner, tax, tip, and spirit circle in the private dining room on the second floor of this former hotel, where the young, distraught girl drowned in the bathtub and haunts this place to the day. Seating for this event is severely limited, so register online ASAP. The Paranormal Intensive 2008, September 20th, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Be there.
Excellent.
Thank you.
very gracious, and thank you very much.
Hi, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Well, and we're back, and that was the that was Revan Friends from GuitarViking.com. And what we didn't talk about earlier, Sean, was the fact that we are going to be at the Mid-South Paranormal Conference. And for all you guys who didn't send in your Sound Like the Blue, Booth Brothers.
And girls
who didn't send in the Sound Like the Booth Brothers competition clips, you will have a second chance because we are going to hold the Sounds Like the Booth Brothers competition at the Mid-South Paranormal Conference.
And they will be judged by a guest celebrity judge.
I wonder if it'll be one of the Booth Brothers.
I don't know. I hope not. This is the Booth Brothers.
You know that we're going to have to get up there and do all imitations first before anyone else does.
Can someone talk like us, please? Thank you. We're from British.
You're not allowed to do accents anymore, Sean. But hey, we got somebody very special right now in the third chair waiting to talk to us.
Let me bring her in.
That would be great. You bring her in.
Yeah, we got, guys, get ready for this. We got T. Thorne Coyle, the craziest chick I've ever met in my life, guys. She's an internationally respected teacher, a spiritual seeker. Her whole life she has studied the craft of magic for more than 25 years. Thorne combines her studies and work with her gods and guides to form a practice that honors the fertile dark and the limitless light. Mystic and musician, dancer, activist, and author of Evolutionary Witchcraft and the forthcoming Kissing the Limitless. She makes her home near the San Francisco Bay. Ladies and gentlemen, a big G&D show welcome to Thorne Coyle.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hey, Thorne, listen. I got to play this for you. I knew you'd love it. Listen. Are you ready, Thorne? Listen.
I'm ready.
It's the witch's laugh. I did that just for you.
I don't sound anything like that.
Would you laugh for us, Thorne, so we can hear the difference? It's
it's
the same cadence there, but a different tone. I think you're off, Sean. I'm sorry.
It was close.
I think I'm closer. But welcome, Thorne. Now, do you like to be called Thorne or T?
Thorne.
Okay. So just so I know.
She said I can't call her Thorny. She told me, she cut me off right away and said I cannot call her Thorny, guys. So that's just the way my luck runs. I can't call her Thorny. So I got to call her Thorne.
Okay.
That's right. You know, you don't want to mess with a witch.
I know. I'll wake up with a donkey tail in the morning.
You never know.
He's already woken up with a donkey.
You have one?
He already wakes up
every day. I love you.
He wakes up every day with a donkey's face. So what's the difference?
Aww.
Anyway.
I can tell you guys love each other.
We do, Thorne. And we love you. We got you on the show. You are actually the first live witch that we've had on the show.
We've had lots of dead ones, but you're the first live one.
So.
We don't let Sean talk that much. It makes it very difficult for a talk show.
Yeah.
So tell us about Thorne, because we're talking about ourselves a lot here. What is it that you do?
As a witch?
As a witch.
Well, as a witch, I worship my gods. I honor spirit in the manifest world. I also do exploration in the realms seen and unseen. I practice psychic skills. I practice self-healing. I honor the ancestors. Occasionally even do a little bit of ghost hunting.
Ooh.
And I teach all over the world. I teach people how to align their souls and how to become more effective in their lives and how to work magic.
Now, do you ever have to worry about people burning you?
No, thank goodness. Those days seem to have mostly passed.
Because I try and burn Sean all the time, and apparently, witchcraft is not a good enough reason anymore because I've tried to falsely accuse him and it just doesn't work.
But you know what? If you ever come out to Indiana and we're having a Ghost Man Demon Hunter Show picnic, we will have a barbecue. You know what I mean?
What are you going to barbecue?
Just some ribs. Ribs, this, whatever
this,
you
is
want.
This is why Sean's humor doesn't work. Sean?
So, she loves
as long as I'm not on the menu, it sounds great.
No, we can...
We're going to have some thorn on
that,
the
that's
menu,
against
right?
the Geneva Convention. We can cook you, we just can't eat you. But
right. Yeah, that's true. Although that doesn't always stop the U.S. government just because something's against the Geneva Convention.
Well,
oh, sorry,
I can't get
politics.
I can't
politics on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
I can't get past your body art. I've seen you're fully sleeved, like the Ghost Man is, myself. Thank you.
It looks
and
better
I
on her,
I love
her,
your
though,
body
Sean.
Work. I love the artwork, man.
Thanks. So do your tattoos have spiritual significance? Because all of mine do.
You know, I have some, of course, that is my, I'm Irish Cherokee, and I have my birthday, Niwaye, which is my birthday symbol for September 28th, and then I have my son's names on my arm. That's about as spiritualist as I get with my tattoos. The rest is a yin and yang on my left arm, and then I have Jack Nicholson from The Shining on my right arm, everybody. That's one of the greatest movies ever made. Thank you.
Well, you
Sean,
know,
Sean, you and I are both Libras.
Yes, we are.
That's
Does
why
that
we're
mean?
So nice looking.
See? and I think I'm sexy.
And what did I get cursed with as a Pisces? I don't get it.
You're very emotional.
I am
you're
not.
A guy.
Take it back. I am not.
Don't make
That's
your
it,
mouth
I'm done. I'm going
wake
home.
Wake up with tails.
You know, my tattoos, people don't get to see my tattoos because mine aren't as obvious as Sean's, but I actually was told that I had a spirit guide who was a lion, so I've got lion stuff tattooed all over my body. And then, of course, I've got a Harley Davidson tattoo on my left arm, which, well, that has no spiritual... Well, you know, Harley Davidsons are a very spiritual thing, so maybe it is a spiritual tattoo.
They're a vehicle, you know.
No, it's a spiritual thing.
I'm interested in, though, do you... In spirit guides, because of course I work with spirit guides as a witch. And do you work with your spirit guide much, or has this just been something that was told to you?
No, I spent years studying different religions because I was raised in a very fundamentalist Baptist religion, and I decided that, you know, in order for me to truly understand the paranormal, I had to understand other people's aspects of it. So I've studied every religion that I can. And
Yeah,
that was me. But since then, I went out and studied a lot of different religions. I've gotten to work with and even at times live with some very great different leaders in different religious communities. And one of them told me I had a lion who was a spirit guide, so I had a tattoo done. And, you know, it wasn't a spiritual thing for me, but it was a spiritual tattoo. So it's a lion's head surrounded by tribals, and now everybody asks me if I'm a Leo, which, of course, I'm a Pisces.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, I just didn't see the same as having a fish on my arm, so it was...
The interesting thing about spirit guides is that they often show up for people in different ways. For example, you may not feel like you may have met your lion, but I bet that, say, in the workplace, you have a lot of confidence and you go out and get things. Do you feel like you have a certain kind of power?
I tend to take over when I go into an office. Yeah, but I was.
So you do have lion aspects, even though you're not necessarily aware of this lion.
I was told I had two spirit guides. One was a lion, and one was a red horse.
Ah, interesting.
So
very interesting.
It was a interesting thing. I didn't have the red horse tattooed on my body, though. As it was, I just thought the lion was pretty cool. So I had that done. But so you deal with your spirit guides. Do you go into trances to speak to them, or because I worked with a
Sometimes.
Lot of I worked with a lot of people who did guided meditations to speak to their spirit guides.
Now that's how I started out. I've been training for years, and early in my training, I did go into trance and deep meditation to meet guides and to work with non-corporeal entities. But the more skilled I became at this, and this is one of the things like any kind of magical practice or witchcraft is good for, is developing our skills. So these days, my guides are always with me. I don't have to do anything really special. All I have to do is take a breath and tune in, and they're right there. And sometimes I don't even have to do that. For example, if I'm helping a student of mine who needs a specific kind of information, the information will just start coming from my mouth, and I realize, oh, my guide is helping me. I didn't stop to think about what I was going to say to my students. The words just came, and they were the right words. So all my years of doing meditation, of doing energy work, of getting in touch with the realm seen and unseen, have actually made it quite simple to contact guides. I don't have to go through much of an elaborate rigmarole to get there.
Rigmarole.
Now, are you a solitary... Yes, Sean likes big words.
I do.
Are you a solitary practitioner, or do you work with a coven?
Well, mostly I'm solitary, although I do get together with a group every few months to do a working, and then I teach a lot, so I'm doing magic with my students all the time. But I don't have a formal coven right now. I have in the past, but I don't currently.
Now, one of the arguments I get in with people all the time is people who don't like organized religion, for the same reason they get into paganism, then they don't want to belong to a coven, and I try and tell them how important it is to really have somebody to learn from.
Yeah.
The people tend to come to me and say, I'm a natural witch. I'm like, that's great, but you don't want to be messing with things that you're messing with unless you learn how they work. And a lot of people don't like me for that, but I really think that if somebody's going to be involved with paganism, they have to have somebody to learn from.
I fully agree with that, and I think that's true of any deep spiritual system. We all need teachers, and we do reach a certain point where we have to trust our own intuition and our own practice. But I still seek out teaching from other people. Someone is always going to have skills and knowledge that I don't have. It's also important for me to practice with peers so that I'm not going off the deep end. Mm-hmm. You know, I have people to say, hey, Thorn, I think you should look at this. But training is really important. You wouldn't expect to say, oh, I'm a natural at Aikido or karate. You know, no, you show up at the dojo 3 times a week. And you practice with your sensei. It's the same. The magical arts are similar to the martial arts. They're also similar to any craft, like learning how to do fine cabinetry. You don't just pick up some wood and a saw and nail it together. You go study with a master. I think teaching is really important. I also think daily practice is really important. A lot of people who get into paganism think that they can just do whatever they want and that it doesn't require any discipline. And those people are just never going to get good at anything, and they're not going to be very effective. And in some cases, it can even be dangerous, which is what you pointed out.
Now, Thorn, I got to tell you, you pointed out before, sister, we are both Libras, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so proud to be a Libra with you. And I went through a terrible divorce about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And I have 2 kids. I'm 32 years old. And, you know, I was searching for anything, something to give me purpose. And I started reading up on all different types of religions. And I'm reading a book right now called The Accidental Buddhist by Dinty W. Moore. And I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Buddhist. But I like a lot of their teachings, because I had what the Buddhists call a monkey mind.
Sure.
And a butt. A monkey butt, too.
So monkey butt, too, right. But you know what?
I'm glad I can't see that.
Oh, you would like to see it. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But anyway, it was, I couldn't silence my mind, man. I went to the doctor. I was like, hey, doc, you got to give me something. I can't sleep. I'm not getting to sleep at night. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And I started, you know, doing some Buddhist meditation. I started doing the counting of the breaths,
yes,
which silences the mind and stuff like that. What do you think about Buddhism? I mean, just a part of that. I'm not a Buddhist, but I like to take bits and pieces of all these religions, because I was raised first Irish Catholic, and then we went to Southern Baptist, and then we were taught that pagans and all this stuff were the devil, of course.
What, you're Southern Baptist, Sean?
I was actually Irish Catholic, and then my dad came in, and he was Southern Baptist. So I got on that kick for a while, but they taught us... My aunt was actually a pagan. And I was taught, guys, I this is out here, and this is what I told Thorn about. This is so important, because a lot of people, demon hunters, sitting out there right now listening to our show, they don't know the difference between these folks. And I was taught that the pagans wore the big horns on their head, and they sacrificed babies and stuff. That's what I was taught. And I started working with these cats in the field, and it's not true. That's what we got Thorn on the air tonight. What do you think about that, Thorn?
You know, one reason people think that, Sean, is because witches aren't afraid of the dark. we say you need both the dark and the light to make something whole.
Uh-huh.
And because we don't shy away from looking at our shadow, for example, people can say, oh, you worship the darkness and you're devil worshipers. But what we're really trying to do is say, if I don't look at my shadow stuff, that shadow stuff will control me for my whole life. People who try to avoid it and only focus on the light end up being controlled in by things that they never even see. So
right.
We say, no, we embrace the light and we embrace the dark, and we bring those two together so we can be whole human beings. It's
absolutely
very important.
But, you know, it's funny, too, Thorne, because, like I said, I've studied as many religions as I could traveling around, and I'll talk to people, and I'll get, even in the pagan groups, I'll start talking about it. I'll be like, well, you know, I studied under these Wiccans, and they're nodding, and they're, oh, yeah. And then I studied with these people who teach voodoo, and now they start to, they're still nodding, but they're looking at me a little funny. And then I say, and Santerian, mm-hmm. and now they're starting to take a step back. And then I start saying, well, you know, and I also studied with the Golden Dawn, and their faces,
mm-hmm.
change a little bit more, and I'm like, well, and there was this Crowleyite who I studied under, now they're running the other way. So even in the pagan religion, there's some paganism in itself is such a wide term, because there are so many different kinds of paganism.
It's very wide, and you know what? Fear exists anywhere. And I study all those things too. Now, my primary practice is the craft, but ceremonial magic, you know, Thelema, Buddhism, I studied with, I studied the Gurdjieff work. I studied Christian mysticism.
Wow.
Everything can inform our practice. So I agree, though, that people can be frightened of anything. And especially if we don't want to look at our stuff, we'd rather blame other people and look at their stuff.
Right.
The unknown, Thorne. The unknown. That's
pardon
what scares me? Everybody. That's what scares everybody. Even
the unknown.
The unknown.
That's
but
right.
Then they teach not to ask questions.
That's right.
We don't know about this stuff, but don't ask these people what they're doing because it's bad. And
that's
where we
right.
go wrong.
And the unknown is really important. We need to run towards it instead of running away from it. You
right.
know, you brought up Buddhism a while ago, Sean, and we never really got to that. But
right.
I certainly don't agree with all of the tenets of Buddhism. But
mm-hmm.
sitting meditation is one of the most effective spiritual practices I have ever found. And
right.
everyone struggles with it because we don't really want to look at ourselves. And if you sit with yourself every morning, stuff is going to come up. All your
yeah.
thought patterns, all your emotional patterns, even the way you complain about how your back aches, it
right.
all comes up. But if we sit with that every morning, then in the afternoon when that same thought arises, we can say, oh, I recognize you. I sat with you this morning. I don't necessarily have to listen to you right now.
Right.
You're just a mechanical thought. Or
right.
you're just something I may not even believe anymore. So sitting meditation gives us a chance. It gives us space and time to open up to those things that we usually never want to look at.
You know what,
and
Thorne?
That's
I
the
actually...
only way to have any spiritual progress.
Right. I actually started getting up a half hour before my work schedule, and I sit there with myself with a cup of Joe at the table, and I kind of reflect on everything that's going down in my
mm-hmm.
life, everything that's happening, everything. And I got to tell you, girl, I have felt so enlightened by just taking
mm-hmm.
those 20 minutes to myself in the morning with a cup of Joe and sipping on it and just looking outside, watching the butterflies, the bunnies, whatever, all the warm, fuzzy stuff, right? And you feel like you're all one with the earth. I mean,
That's
I
right.
really, I'm not a Buddhist, but, you know, these are things I found from Buddhist reading that I've been reading lately. So I wanted to ask you something, Thorne, and this is
yeah.
probably totally out of line. You're probably not ready. But I was wondering, first time ever on the air, do you think at some time or maybe tonight – we could do like a good luck spell. We could show these listeners what a spell cast is like, to cast a spell, maybe for good luck or peace or whatever, maybe to bless the show or to bless yourself, bless all of us that are listening. I mean, is that a possibility?
Sure it is, actually. So let me, how much time do I have to do this?
Well, why don't we... see what
do
I can
do
if
minutes?
I We should have about 5 minutes.
Okay, so first off, a spell gathers your intention mm-hmm. and your will and focuses it. So some spells are very elaborate because you really want to take some time to gather your intention, figure out exactly what you want, focus your will, and then send it off. So what we're going to do tonight is a simple spell. And what I'm going to give you is my toast for the good life. This is the best spell I've ever written, okay? And it's very easy, and I'm going to just lead us into it at first and then ask you to repeat after me, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's all take a breath together. And just feel yourself centered. Imagine you have a still place deep in your belly that you can connect with that is perfectly still.
Okay.
And you're going to focus your will, and you're going to say, I want this, and I want to be open. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone, all of our listeners, let's take one more deep breath and then repeat after me. Love.
Love.
You say it, guys.
Love.
Health.
Help.
Help.
Prosperity.
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 Knowledge.
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 And great sex.
and great sex.
There you go. So now every time you go and have a beer with your friends, you can tell them that, and you're passing this spell on. Love, health, prosperity, knowledge, and great sex.
You know what, Thor? Could we reverse that? Maybe great sex at the beginning, then wealth and prosperity?
No, because we'd never get through the rest of it.
That's true.
You start with great sex, you never get to the health or the prosperity. You can't reverse it, Sean.
That's what I've been telling Demon Hunter.
Oh, yeah, that's what you've been telling me, sure.
Hey, listen, all I got to say, Demon Hunter, is we had the first spell by Thorn cast on the internet to our listeners live on the Ghostman Demon Hunter show just now, guys.
Thorn, when our listeners listen to this show on archives, will that spell work for them too?
It will always work. That spell just keeps on working.
Okay.
I designed that spell when I was having trouble in my life, and it has worked for me really well.
A
lot of great sex there.
I have a lot of great sex.
Okay.
And love, help, and prosperity, and some knowledge, too.
You know, Thorna, I'm just getting ready to tell you that I feel it right now. I feel the effects of the spell. It's starting in my thighs.
Stop saying the spell backwards, Sean. Stop. Hey, Thorn, where can people find your books?
My books are available anywhere. Evolutionary Witchcraft is available online. It's available at any store. If they're out of it, you can order it. But it's Torture Penguin, so you can pretty much get it anywhere.
And
my new spell will be out in the spring. Maybe I can come back and talk to you when that comes out.
And where's your website?
Thorncoil.com.
Thorncoil.
Thorncoile.
And when people
are
asking,
what, Thorn? Maybe someday we can get an autographed copy from you. Maybe we can buy that for we can raffle it off to some of our listeners.
That would be great.
And, you know, Thorn, when they ask for your book, which is Evolutionary...
Witchcraft.
Witchcraft. Evolutionary Witchcraft. Do they ask for it by T. Thorn...
Coil.
Or is it Thorn Coil? Or how is it on the book?
T. Thorn Coil,
Evolutionary Witchcraft. And, you know, I wish we had more time now. I really do.
I told you we should have had it for an hour.
I know. It's, you know, we're reaching the busy season here, Thorn. So, but I know October is probably a busy season for you, too. But maybe we could have you back.
Busy.
Maybe we could have you back in October.
Sounds great.
That's because she loves us. Thank you, Thorn.
Thank you. Sean, you're just feeling the love now. Stop saying the spell backwards.
I love her. Since the first time I've seen her picture, I love her. Guys, go to her website right now. tthorncoil.com. Look at her pictures. Oh, my God. That's all I got to say. Thank you. Good night.
Many blessings.
Thorn, we thank you so much for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great.
Thanks Bye. So much. Bye. Hey, guys, we're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, we will have Eddie Price from HauntedHickory.com. Stick around.
Stay tuned.
Did I steal your line there, Sean? I'm sorry.
You did. You stole my line. That's okay.
It's coming. The 7th Annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention will be taking over Louisville, Kentucky, September 26th through 28th. The Louisville Ghost Hunter Society has went all out this year to bring some of the most amazing speakers, vendors, and activities together under one roof at the Executive Inn in the heart of Louisville. For ticket prices, hotel accommodations, and any other info on the 7th Annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention, visit LouisvilleGHS.com.
Beacons of Tomorrow presents Deconstructing Fireflies, a post-apocalyptic short story by the Ghostman and Demon Hunter shows Nathan Schoonover and Christy Peterson. Bees are real, birds are not. Deer heads rot on rooftops under the blazing sun. Chickens explode, and one stricken little boy searches in unlikely places for the souls of the mechanical animals his father creates. This unsettling tale is now available in the speculative fiction anthology Beacons of Tomorrow, second collection. Buy your copy at TyrannosaurusPress.com, Amazon.com, Tower.com, and most online book retailers now. Beacons of Tomorrow, second collection. It's a vision of the future so grotesque, you won't be able to look away.
Okay, well, if anyone else wants to call in and talk on the G&B show, all they have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, enter 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
This is Troy Taylor of the American Ghost Society, and I love listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Hey, Thorn.
Hey.
We, our second guest didn't pick up his phone, so how would you like to spend another half an hour with us?
Okay.
With sex, peace, and hair grease, baby.
How often does that happen, huh? See what how magic works? We wanted another half an hour with you. We got another half an hour with you.
It's why they say, careful what you wish for, you just might get it.
She was getting ready to turn on the TV, and we called her back, see?
I guess
so. I don't have a TV.
Are you kidding me?
How spooky is that? I haven't had a television in 20 years.
Okay. This is one of the questions I want to ask you, Thorne. What is it in the life of a witch? What is a day in the life of a witch? How do you get by? What's going down?
Well, my life is a little unusual in that at this point I don't have a street job. You know, right. Most witches have a regular job. They go to the office or they go work in a nursery or whatever they do. I write books and I teach magic. So I'm incredibly blessed to be able to make a living doing that. So what do? I get up in the morning, I make a cup of tea. I might do a little bit of spiritual reading. Then I do some meditation, some prayers, what I call soul alignment, some energy work. And then 3 days a week, I ride my bicycle to the gym, work out. That's one thing, being a pagan, very important. We're an embodied religion, so the physical is really important to us.
Well, you're built.
And then I'll come. Well, thank
built.
You.
You're very healthy looking.
50% genetics, 50% effort.
And I love those little glasses, those little office glasses you wear. I love those. I'm sorry, Thorne. I'm sorry. Please don't turn me into a bat. Please. Because, you know.
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Uh-oh, what's happening?
Oh, they're kind of, he's trying to bleed over what I say, saying that I'm not affiliated with the program because all the nasty things they say. But I'm just saying, Keith Thorne.
We have to watch our backs here on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Hey, I'm a Libra. A Libra is a lover. Right, T-Thorn?
So.
Now he's just making stuff up.
Now he's making stuff up. But I'm telling you, the power of witchcraft, you know? That's why I'm so good looking, right?
That's right.
But then I'll come home, I'll answer emails from my students, I will work on various projects, I'll do some writing. If it's a weekend, I'll teach all day long for about 12 hours at a time. Other than that, life is normal. I cook dinner, I water the garden, you know, that sort
you
of thing.
What,
the only difference is, the only difference between my life and the life of your average person
yeah.
is I don't do a lot of mind-numbing, soul-numbing activity. You know, a lot of people don't like their lives, and
right.
so they numb themselves. They watch too much television or they eat too much garbage. I try to get the most out of my life and really enjoy my life, and so I don't do as much of that.
Well,
you
know, Thorne, people keep telling me that I shouldn't smoke, but I keep telling them, hey, tobacco is an herb of Mars, so it's got to, you know, it's fine, you know. It's.
What about Cheetos? Cheetos, is that in the cosmos somewhere?
I don't eat Cheetos, actually.
Come on, Thorne!
And I don't eat deep-fried Twinkies either. I once went to Oklahoma, and they wanted to feed me deep-fried Twinkies, and I was horrified.
How could you turn down a deep-fried Twinkie? I've never even seen one, and I want one now. Just because I've heard about it.
So when you come to Indiana, I will make you gain 50 pounds overnight, and that is magic.
What are you going to feed me?
Deep-fried Twinkies?
Oh.
You know, I have deep-fried Twinkies.
We do, too. We got those sideshow things. We got everything going on at the fairs. This is a good time of year, man. You got September coming on. You got October coming on. You got all these little festivals out here. The Indiana State Fair just started up, guys. So you got the hot buttered corn out there and everything. I mean, it's everything a fat man could dream of right there.
Now, these fairs that he's talking about, too, you go there and you'll see psychics at these fairs and stuff like that. Do you do, like, tarot card readings?
I do tarot card readings. I read runes. I also just do psychic readings where I just open up to people. Sometimes I do automatic writing. I don't do fairs, though. I used to occasionally do that sort of thing, but I don't like to have to do it for that many different people, quite frankly. I'll
right.
do it for people I know, people in need, that sort of thing.
Right. Now, what do you think,
Thorne? Have you encountered psychics that you feel are the real deal, and have you encountered psychics you feel are not the real deal?
You.
Well, I've worked with a lot of different psychics, and I've worked with some that right off the bat you know that they're speaking from the heart, and sometimes they think they're telling the truth, and sometimes they're just cold reading and they don't even know they're doing it. I'd say a really good psychic, somebody with a gift that they can see beyond the norm, usually is less, probably 25% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times I meet them, and sometimes they really mean well, and sometimes they're great counselors for people who need help. But having worked with some really great psychics, I just look at some of them and just don't see it, what they see.
Yeah.
You know, I, having studied tarot cards myself for years under Robert Ludwig and his wife, I know what the cards mean, and I'll look at them and be like, really? How did you get that out of that card? It's
right.
You know, and I know the cards speak to the individual, but they also, it's like the way they were taught to me was they read like a story, and part of
mm-hmm.
one way or another, part of that story is going to read the same way. So
right.
Yeah, so I've come across some who I think are real and some who mean well and some who are just fakes.
Can I be heard?
No. Thorne and I are having a conversation now, Sean. So
I know. I'm like the fat kid eating a cupcake. You guys put me in a closet.
No, that's me when I drive.
Now, cupcakes. I'll eat cupcakes.
You will.
Oh, my God. So Thorne won't eat... deep fried Twinkies.
Will you eat deep fried cupcakes?
You eat a box of Hostess cupcakes.
No. It has to be a high quality cupcake, my friend.
Can they be deep fried?
I'm not coming to Indiana for a box of cupcakes. They've got to be high quality cupcakes.
If you get down here, I will make you fudge from scratch, homemade Indiana fudge.
Well, all right then.
You never made me fudge, Sean.
Well, because you're not Thor.
You guys are like an old married couple.
I know. Well, Thor could turn me into a donkey. You can't, Demon Hunter. But I got to tell you what, Thorne.
You
listen,
don't know
I go to work
what
every
I can
day.
Do.
I go to work every day. And I'm with this guy, right? And every day it's the same thing. I work for an airline. I work in the cargo industry. And, yeah, you know, some days it's like, oh, my God, it's the same thing. I'm going to put my hair out. Oh, I can't take it. And this guy's totally negative every day. And I believe they call them psychic vampires. Mm-hmm. Because, if you come in and you're in a good mood, this guy will try everything he can through complaining and backstabbing and whatnot to pull the energy, the good energy, out of you as
a witch.
How do you deal with something like that? Like, if you walk in and there are a bunch of negative cats standing around, I mean, do you just whack them all out, make them go somewhere else, or, I mean, how do you deal with it?
The first thing we do with magic, Sean, is to make change within. We change ourselves. So the first thing I do is make sure I have my daily centering practice. Mm-hmm. So I've connected with that still place in my center. I've sat with myself in meditation. I've done my soul alignment and my prayers. I also do work with my energy bodies. I believe we all have energy bodies around the physical body that we can work with. And I get those in order. I get those in line. I make sure those are clean. Because if we're not clean, more stuff sticks to us, right? Yeah. That's why in Christianity they say, you know, take the plank out of your eye before looking at the speck in your brother's eye. That's part of the magic. You know, the more messed up and bound up we are, the more other people's stuff sticks to us and the more we have to deal with it.
See, so I know this guy who's a real nuisance and a pain in the neck, and I have to talk to him every Sunday, and it just drives me insane. And what can I do about that? Oh, wait, never
if
mind.
If you take a breath, center yourself first, calm yourself, and get your energy bodies calm around you, you're going to face him from a place of power. Right now, you're giving him your power. You're saying,
I'm not giving you my power anymore, Sean.
I know.
It's true. You shouldn't give Sean your power. You should have your power, and Sean should have his power.
Actually,
I want my power back, Thorne.
Actually, I control the board. I control the board, Thorne, so I have all the power.
Oh, well, see. So you're just complaining for nothing.
I like to complain. It's what I'm best at.
Now listen,
if you
guys,
like to complain, you're gonna draw complaints to you though. This is another way that energy works.
Hey Thorne, like I said before, in relationships, sometimes you're in a relationship, things go bad. Is there a spell? Now I've heard all kinds of different stuff. A love spell, stuff like that. You can't do that. Is that right? You can't cast a love spell on somebody because it comes back to you 20 times fold or whatever. I don't know.
You can, but it's not very effective because it's not going to get you what you really want. What you really want is for someone to really love you for who you are.
Right.
So if you're going to do a love spell, what we generally counsel is that you do some work on yourself, get your stuff together,
right,
clean your house. That always helps.
Yeah. Light a candle
and then say, what do I really want in my life? And can I want to draw that to me and become more attractive to that. If you cast a spell on a specific person, you're manipulating them. And then how do you know that if they like you or if it's just the spell?
Okay.
And besides
that,
you're manipulating their energy, and why would you even then want them? It's like, there's a thing I don't understand that I've heard some men do, which is go to a bar and try to get a woman as drunk as possible so she'll go home with them.
It works.
Why in the world
would I want someone who's only going to go home with me if she's that drunk?
Right. Now listen, for all our listeners, I just want to do this right now. I'm going to try it. T. Thorne Coyle, you are in love with me. You want to be with me for all eternity. And booga booga, booga booga booga. And you love me. Did it work? Come on, Thorne.
And a pause goes through the room.
I don't think your will is that strong, Sean.
I'm trying.
Now, Sean, let me ask Thorne a question here, an actual magical question, because through my studies, this is something I've noticed and I want to know. I see a lot of people who are involved with the magical craft, and one of the things that I really grabbed a hold of when I was studying under all these people was control.
Mm-hmm.
Control of one's own abilities. One has to be able to control themselves before they can control the things around them.
That's
and
right.
I meet a lot of young pagans, new pagans, solitary practitioner pagans, who they get very excited when light bulbs blow out around them and things like that. And then they get mad at me when I say, well, that's great, but everybody has that power. You've just kind of tapped into something, and now you don't know how to control it.
Right.
And so, you know, it's not such a great thing that light bulbs blow out all around you. It means you've tapped into something, and now you don't control it. So,
that's
I mean,
right.
How do people learn this control?
Well, once again, this is the thing I always harp on. Daily practice. If you're only doing magic randomly, mm-hmm. You're not going to become effective. Just like you're not going to become effective at any craft if you don't practice on a daily basis. So sit down, do candle gazing, try to open up your psychic skills, find a teacher who can teach you how to control your energy bodies, do meditation. Anything you can do on a daily basis is going to be of help. The other thing is we have to learn to pay attention. A lot of times these type of phenomena are because something's trying to get our attention and we haven't been listening. For example, years ago, when my friends and I first started to work with fae beings, you know, beings from the fairy realms,
mm-hmm.
glasses would shatter. Things would get lost. Random stuff would happen. And I realized, and we all thought it was cool, just like you're saying at the time, but I realized later, oh, it's because we weren't paying attention, and they were having to scream at us, basically, these spirits, in order to get our attention. Once we started paying better attention, those phenomena stopped. And once we harnessed our own will better through practice, once we became more serious in our practice, the phenomena also stopped because it just wasn't necessary anymore. So people think it's cool because usually the unseen realms don't communicate with us very well, but that's just because we don't have the skill to see and to hear.
Now, going back a little bit, we were talking about spirit animals and stuff like that, and how somebody came and mm-hmm. told me that I had a lion and a horse, and wondering what some of that stuff kind of meant. I recently, someone told Sean that his spirit animal was an otter. Remember that, Sean? So, what do these things mean to have a spirit animal? Does that affect the person themselves, or is that just the spirit realm sees them? Or how do spirit animals work?
Well, as I said before, when someone told you you had a lion, if you pay attention, it gives you keys into your own personality and how you walk in the world, and you can become more effective by saying, oh, how do I act like a lion? And in what ways is being a lion helpful to me in this situation? And in what ways is it not helpful to me in this situation? So again, it's something that can help you pay attention. So that's one way to work with these animals. And way other people work with the animals is if they do a lot of work on the astral or in the shamanic underworld, sometimes the animals actually will guide them through psychic spaces. So the animal will show up in a trance or in a dream and guide the person. So that's another way people often work with these spirit animals. So they're energies for which some part of our personality has an affinity, is what I would say.
And
so there's something in Sean that's playful like an otter, right? that likes to eat mollusks. I don't know.
You get this now, Thorn. That's for you.
He's either playful like an otter or a lot of our listeners think that his spirit animal is a zombie sheep because we have a lot of them on the show. So,
Daddy!
Yes.
Yeah.
But
that's unfortunate.
being a witch and practicing witchcraft and getting out there in the real paranormal world, writing and becoming known for this, what are the things about... now, we talked about the different kinds of paganism. Which actual form of paganism do you follow?
That's a can of worms.
Okay, is there... So, is there some kind of paganism that you follow more than one, and you've kind of mixed them to make your own, or?
Well, I've considered myself to be a witch since I was 16 years old, back in the Pleistocene age, and I have diligently studied the craft of magic all these years, and witchcraft has been my home. My primary tradition is what is known as the Anderson fairy tradition. My teachers were Victor and Cora Anderson, among many other people. But I've also come to what many people come to, and that is when you reach a certain level of adepthood, or the more you become a mystic, the more you tap into the underlying truths that are everywhere. So, when I started going through a lot of spiritual changes in my life, I realized, I'm not finding enough good maps in witchcraft and paganism. I'm still going to be a witch, I'm still going to be a pagan, but I also went and studied from some of the pupils of mystic philosopher G.I. Gurdjieff. I also realized that some of the ceremonial magicians had maps I didn't have. I realized that Aleister Crowley, controversial as he was, had some good insights into my experiences. Buddhist practice is helpful. I also spent time studying with the Whirling Dervishes to figure out what their take on connection with what I call the limitless divine was. So I still am a pagan. I call myself sometimes just a magic worker and sometimes a mystic witch.
Okay.
So now, I'm not a member, like I'm not a Gardnerian or any of those.
Not one of Jerry's kids?
Any of those forms you might have heard of. But I really think that anyone who has studied deeply, I think that those labels start to mean less and less.
Now, in all these different practices that you've followed and things that you've seen, what's the greatest thing that you've seen that has like really convinced you that this is the right step for you, this is where you belong?
I would have to say the very real changes in my own life.
Okay.
I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm effective. Things open for me. I never would have dreamed I would have been making my living doing what I'm doing, but the universe has provided that for me. So really, the real changes in my own personal life are what has convinced me. Now, that is not to say I haven't had a lot of other experiences. I've certainly had direct experiences with things in the spirit world, with ghosts, with other unseen beings, with deities, with gods and goddesses. But when it comes right down to it, if my life wasn't better for it, it wouldn't matter as much to me.
Okay.
And I think that becoming a better human is the core of all religion. If we're not becoming better, more effective, kinder, more compassionate human beings, what's it for? What's the use?
I got one other quick question for you here before I turn it over to Sean and we wrap up for the night. I have a friend who recently contacted me and wanted to know if there were any good kids' books out there for pagans.
That's tougher. A friend of mine wrote a book for really tiny kids. It's an ABC book, and of course now I'm not thinking of the title. It's an ABC book for witchcraft, which is probably, if they Google ABC witchcraft, they'll come up with it. But there aren't a lot of good books out there for kids, unfortunately. We need to write more.
Now we know what your next book's going to be there.
Pardon me?
Now we know what your next book's going to be.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, but you know what? It's that time again, and I think we're going to have to wrap up for the evening.
Okay.
You'll actually get to actually get rid of us this time.
Thank goodness.
But if Sean's still there, then I can wrap up. If Sean? My co-host seems to have vanished.
I didn't do it, I promise.
How about now? Can you guys hear me?
I'm waiting for some baying over there.
Oh, there he is.
I was waiting for some.
Thank you.
I was waiting for some donkey baying to start over there. You know,
I know. I was saying all kinds of stuff to Thorn, and you guys didn't respond. So I guess I was on mute, and that's the price I have to pay. But from one Libra to another, Thorn, I love you. I did put a love cast spell on you tonight. So when you wake up in love with me tomorrow, just give me a call. We'll know how it works out.
That's great. I can use all the love I can get, Sean.
Hey, can you hang on for like 2 minutes there, and we will wrap up, and then we will let you go for the night, Thorn?
I can hang on, but can I say one last thing?
Of course.
Yep.
I think the world itself can use all of the love Sean is directing towards me, so let's just spread it out across the planet.
Oh, believe me, Sean's been spreading the love for a while now.
But... all right,
let's spread it out, guys.
But again, that's teeth. Thorn, I keep forgetting your last name. That's
my T-Thorncoyle.
T-Thorncoyle.com?
That's right. No, just Thorncoyle.com.
Oh, just Thorncoyle.com, and that's where you can check out more about Thorn. And Sean, we got to take this chance to thank everybody for joining us here tonight for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Absolutely, guys. T-Thorncoyle, Thorncoyle.com. She's a witch, she's hot, she's bad, and she's in the house, everybody. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log into our forums because we really want to hear from you.
That's right. And don't forget, if you missed any part of this or any Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, you can catch it at Planet Paranormal, Podomatic, Podcast Alley, iTunes, Mediafly, Podbean, Blueberry, Podcast Pickle, the Podfeed community, and the ParaX Radio. And join us next week, which will be Sunday, August. You know, I should have checked that first. August 24th, when hopefully we will have Eddie Price on if we can find out what happened tonight. And I'm trying to get a hold of Laura Hladek from the New Jersey Ghost Hunters, Sean. So
Hladek.
So that should be a really good show. Join us then.
All right, guys. Hey, don't go changing. You know we won't. We love you, Ghost Hunters.
Good night, everybody.
Night, guys.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Yeah.